Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on the second week of a stock market crash. That is nothing but exciting.
Everything's crashing.
Yeah, well, I got a list here. In fact, we had the oil crash, U.S. Treasuries, historic low rates. It's ridiculous. Global equities crashed. We got negative rates priced in for April from the Fed.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Seriously, this is kind of like, you know, they talk about black swans, but these are like, I mean, really almost like once in a lifetime type of events. You don't see this kind of stuff happening.
No.
Oil was down 30%. That was the last time it had that kind of move was 1991.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, the oil thing was remarkable.
And then we get
and here's the thing about the oil.
Yeah.
It's like, what is now there's all these different explanations you have, and you're going to have to give me the official one. It goes like this, the story. It's Saudi Arabia and Russia were going to do some sort of a deal, and they're going to fix prices and cut production and on and on. And then the talks fell through, and so then Saudi Arabia decided that the market share was more important than cutting production, and so they lowered the price, and the Russians decided they were going to lower the prices to sink the Americans. And the whole thing seems dubious.
And then Saudi Arabia says, you know what? Screw you. We're going to keep up production and we're going to cut our prices by 20%.
Yeah.
So that was a whammy right there. And then on top of it, there's aside from all the things that OPEC and non-OPEC and the alternate OPEC did, the other problem we have is a supply glut right now. You know, I'm not an expert, but all those airlines that are not flying and those that are grounded probably don't consume a lot of fuel. So you have that.
But don't you think, by the way, just as an aside, that those same airlines that aren't consuming any fuel right now are in a great position to settle in on some long-term fuel contracts?
Yeah, if they did, of course. And they probably hedged them somehow to begin with. But who knows how their hedges are working, because they may have lost a lot of money on hedges. But I think they would rather be up in the air flying.
Well, yeah, duh.
As can be seen by their stock prices. But it doesn't matter, because it seems that now we're going to have a bailout of the airline industry. We're going to have a bailout potentially of the cruise line industry. And we're going to have a bailout of the energy sector. On top of all the other bailouts that seemingly are floating around. I don't know where all this money's coming from. I don't know how we're going to do this.
It comes out from the bailout fund.
Oh, that side fund that they have that they've been accumulating all these years?
Supposedly.
Yeah. So the market was slammed on coronavirus. We had the historic levels of the most points down on the Dow. Dow was down about 5,600 from its high at the low point a couple days ago. Markets were halted. Did you see this?
Yeah.
This was unbelievable. So I'm watching. I sometimes get up and wander around the house. And thank God Bloomberg is on pretty much 24 hours a day. So it does two things for me. Gets me informed and it puts me to sleep. So I'm kind of watching this and I'm like, huh, the futures are like, sheesh, they're not moving at all. The Dow futures are moving, but the S&P futures aren't moving. I don't know what's happening here. It's kind of weird how it's just sitting right there. And then I realized it was a 5% down stop, a halt. Once you get 5% from a certain area on an overnight, they'll halt it. So coming into the morning on Monday, we're halted on the futures, but yet they are really trading below that. They're down 5%, and the SPY, which is currently ticking away, is down like 7.2%. And then it comes back up a little bit, maybe about to up 6%, down 6%. Market opens up on the open. Market opens, stocks are ticking away. 9:35, my entire screen turns a color I've never seen. Like every stock was this pinkish color. I'm like, what's going on there? So the entire market was halted for 15 minutes. Every single stock that was out there. So we had this incredible situation. The last time that happened, although it didn't last, was the presidential election. Remember when futures dropped? And I think the Dow was down 1,000 something at that point. And it was halted for a while, and then it opened back up, and it kind of did its thing. And, when Trump said that he was going to provide all these tax breaks, it moved right up and didn't stop for a while.
Yeah, no kidding. It was actually when Trump got in November of 2016, when he got elected, it was at 17,880, I think.
And it was crazy.
It's just gone straight up since then. So, I mean, this is a correction that was needed anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I don't think anybody wanted a correction that looks like this.
Well, it's the velocity of the correction. You know, we're talking about 10% in a week or 12% in a week, about 18% down from the high. So it didn't really officially close on that bear market, that 20% number that everybody looks at. But it's still a problem, you know, because a lot of individual stocks are hammered. I mean, look at the whole leisure industry. Company after company after company are pulling their guidance, canceling internal and external, company-only meetings, vendor meetings. Google now announced tonight that every single one of their employees shall be working from home for a while.
Yeah.
So this is pretty amazing stuff that's happening. We saw that the 30-year U.S. Treasury yield hit an all-time low, under 1% on Monday. 10-year hit an all-time low. There's now a 100% chance of a 1% rate cut at the March meeting, which is March 18th. And the VIX peaked out at about 58. 58! That's the highest since when it got back, I think it got towards 80 to 80 in the financial meltdown of 2008 and
9. Wow.
So the big question is, you know, how long is this going to last? Why is it happening? And I don't know. I think it's pretty reasonable what's happening. We talked about the overvaluation last year, right?
A lot.
So now you got to take out the overvaluation and now add into that the uncertainty in the future. And moreover, the fact that we know that earnings are going to go down. So you got to take out the excessive move from September through December. Then we have to back it up for realization of where the PE should be. And then add on top of that, the uncertainty factor. It's ugly. It's ugly. Terrible.
Well, it gives us something to talk about.
It does. Thank goodness. So year-to-date Dow Jones Industrial is down 13%. The S&P is down 12%. And the NASDAQ is down 10%. So we did see this yield curve collapse. Check out this.
I saw this graph. It's great. It just, what it says, if it goes any lower, it means put your money in a mattress.
Yeah, this is the entire yield curve yesterday was under 1%. The entire, the 30-year, the 20-year, 10-year, all the way down to
maybe 2. This will invite the bond collapse.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what this is. I mean, obviously this is bringing bond prices up.
Yeah, way up.
You think it's going to just get, well, what this is doing and the velocity of this and how this is playing out is causing a lot of problems for the junk bond area, and yield spreads and are starting to what they call blow out. Whereas, and there was a point yesterday that there was a wide range of bid and asks on bonds. It wasn't liquid. People weren't willing to pay it. People weren't willing to sell it. So there was this wide range and bonds were kind of getting stuck. It's not good. This kind of stuff is not good.
No, I wouldn't think so.
You can check out these charts over on DH Unplugged, episode number 496 on the show notes. So just to get back to your crude problem, you know, now we're hearing, well, this is good for the consumer. It's good for the economy.
Well, I mean, I'm a big subscriber to that idea because the oil represents energy.
Yeah.
And the cheaper and energy propels the economy, and the cheaper the energy, the better off everybody is. It makes, you can manufacture things cheaper. You can travel cheaper. You can take an airplane trip cheaper. You can fill your tank up cheaper.
I would tend to agree with that. However, we have become a much more, the United States has become much more of an energy producing country. So for example, let's say we had a country that all they did was pump oil. Every company, that's all they ever did was pump oil. That was the heart of their economy. From the jobs of the people that worked in the fields, to the refinery positions, to the sales at the pump. I mean, everything, right?
Yeah, you're describing Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, that country's not going to do very well. Their Saudi Aramco went under the IPO price.
Yeah, so, I'm wondering about a lot of this because my understanding, and I only picked this up and I brought it on the show a couple of times, is I heard, and this was a long time ago, one of the Saudis that was in one of the, you know, oil guy talking, and this was on an old 60 Minutes. He says that we could easily still make money at $20 a barrel.
Oh, come on.
That's what he said.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I don't think so. I mean, the most expensive is what? The Canadian sands, right?
Well, the Russians say they can make money at 30, even though it's not a lot. Yeah, the Canadian, no, the sand tars shale oil is 50 bucks is pretty much as low as you can go.
Brazilian deep water is very expensive too because they do it way out in the ocean.
Yeah, it could be.
But so we saw this it netted a 24% hit for that day. Some of the, trackers of the index were obliterated. The entire energy sector, ExxonMobil, was down like 15% yesterday. Chevron was down like 8%. A lot of the smaller companies were down 25-30%. Some of them popped up today, but really, I mean, just unbelievable. What I thought was really the most interesting was when we thought oil was like, oh, this is it. Back in 2008, in December, when it got to 32, we were like, oh, this is the end, right? We went down to 27 yesterday.
Oh.
27. And my Shell station didn't reduce prices at all.
Oh, I was just going to ask that question. It's funny how when the oil prices go up 10 bucks, your gas station prices go up like the next day.
Yeah.
But when it goes down and or virtually collapses, no change.
So I think the issue, though, just to get back to how this impacts us here, we have a lot more people working in the fracking and oil and refining business in the United States. And the potential layoffs, companies that close, the earnings to the S&P 500 are a lot more today, a lot more impactful than they were, say, 10 years ago.
Yeah, but not so much the refiners. They get their oil from anywhere they want. I mean, it's only the drillers and the energy, some of the pipeline companies. I mean, is it really the whole energy sector? I mean, the refiners should be fine. It won't be as good as refining the stuff that you drill and put in through the system. But you can buy – I mean, there's not a refiner in the world that doesn't import fuel to refine.
Right. That's true. So maybe, all right, that one area will do well, but you still have a collapse of the compounding effect of the collapse of oil prices due to consumption concerns, trucking, just general usage. And on top of that, this Saudi Arabia spite trade, it's a real problem. And that's why they're talking about federal loans, like sweetheart deals to the energy industry. I can't believe we're just 3 weeks off the all-time highs of the stock market, and now we're bailing out three industries. 3 weeks.
Well, the money hasn't flowed yet.
Yeah, well, they're talking about it. That's pretty severe. If we're on the same trajectory that this looks like it's on, we got problems. I mean, we're definitely going to go into a recession if we stay at this trajectory. People are freaking out. Come on. Everywhere I go. Now, I was at, just before I came back to the studio, I was out at a Purim celebration where they read, all the Jews get, it's like a Jewish Halloween. They all get dressed up in crazy outfits and there's always a lot of whiskey and, but everybody was greeting me and they're like, everybody's with the elbows. Everybody's elbowing me. You know, the old elbow pump?
Yeah.
And
there's two things. I'm seeing the elbows, also seeing the forearm Bash Brothers thing.
Oh, that's
going on too, which I think is cooler.
That is cool. The elbow thing's a little bit just out of whack. It's too much. Too much movement. I like that, the elbow thing. So what the forearm thing? You hit the forearm to the forearm?
Yeah, you have your fist in the air at probably like a 90-degree angle, your arms at a 90-degree angle. You bash your forearms one to the other. And
I like
It was popularized by Mark McGuire and Jose Canseco.
I like that.
And then a lot of baseball players still do it.
Yeah, that's hip. That's much more hip than the whole elbow thing. The elbow thing is
uncomfortable. The elbow thing's a little weird.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel right. You got to kind of have your body.
How about kicking each other in the shins?
There you go.
Just as hard as you can.
Yeah. So anyway, I think the crude thing is a big problem. That's why that we saw that incredible move down yesterday on top of all the things that are going on. So we'll have to see what happens. We saw a really good day today. Another potential dead cat bounce. I'm going to look at the futures right now. Breaking news. Biden won Michigan. Wow, this guy's really picking up speed for a guy that seems like he's not with it.
Yeah, well.
Futures down about 1.5% right now and from the top. So we're right now, if we would open right now, we'd be down about 2% tomorrow, which seems like nothing. Seems like
it'll be worse.
2%.
Up and down and up and down.
So March 18th, mark your calendars, Fed rate decision, and the Fed fund futures are pricing in a 100% chance of a 1% rate cut down to zero. Remember the old word that we used, the acronym ZERP?
No, I don't remember it.
Zero interest rate policy.
Oh, yeah.
Zero interest rate policy. That's what we had for years.
We're going to end up like Japan.
Yeah, well, Japan's negative, yes, but that we are going to be Japan, where everybody's going to be Japan. So now this discussion is about the potential for a negative interest rate. That's what's being priced into the market by June. I don't understand it. I can't wrap my heads around it, even though they're probably going to do it anyway. But, you know, we have Europe doing it. We have Japan doing it. Seems absurd. And this is
it comes to I think it was selling mattresses. Well, and maybe this is your big complaint. All these years, you've been moaning and groaning about all these mattress sales. Mm. It just doesn't make any sense. Now it's starting to make sense.
These are the new safes of this generation. That's where you put your money. But this isn't good for financial stocks. Yesterday, the financial sector was down like 8% yesterday.
Yeah.
8-9% maybe. They bounced back a little bit today. But if you look at the prices for Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan. And so, well wishes to Jamie Dimon, who had some emergency heart surgery, And
watching the stock.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, again, these were J.P. Morgan was at an all-time high. But these stocks, these financials got obliterated throughout the last couple of weeks as rates are coming down. This is really bad for them. Look at this. There's a chart here. Look at this. This is year to date, as of yesterday, they popped back a little bit today, of some domestic banks and how they fared so far this year. Bank of America down 36%. When we were at the lows of the financial crisis, weren't banks like down 80-something percent? 90% maybe?
Maybe. I actually don't remember.
It was bad. It was like they're going out of business. But this is not too far away from that. 36% year to date. KeyCorp down 36%. Huntington Bank shares down 35%. Citigroup down 32%. JP Morgan down 31%. Capital One down 27%. Morgan Stanley down 25%. And that one's been doing pretty well. Goldman Sachs down 23%. And American Express down 19%. That's ugly. That's a real kick in the pants.
Yeah, for banks, which are the most stable of many investments.
You know, they say you can't have a market rally if the banks aren't rallying along. You know why that is? It took me a long time to figure this out.
Yeah, why is that then?
Because every investor, every institution loves banks. They're money-making machines, right? I mean, all your money runs through there, and they make a little spiff on everything that goes through there. So if the banks, which are the number one loved by most institutional investors, aren't playing along, how could the rest of the market play along? It's impossible. Can't. No, it can't. So you need those banks doing well, in theory, for the rest of the market to be, you know, healthy and doing well. I'm sitting on the edge of a coughing fit here. So.
Of okay. A what?
Of a coughing fit. Let me take a little.
Oh, you are. Oh, take a okay. Little, well,
I'm going to get another lozenger. Didn't we have this discussion once? By the way, these.
Yeah, you're calling them lozengers for some unknown reason.
These so are.
Let's go off. I'll take some of the stuff off this list. This came out today, and this is going to cause some controversy. And I have to ask you a simple question.
Yeah.
Trump wants the Congress to suspend payroll tax through November.
Uh-huh.
Or December even. And everyone's saying, I don't know how you're going to make up for the money. Is payroll tax something other than income tax that's selectively pulled out of your bank, out of your earnings? Isn't that what it is?
No, what they're talking about is the FICA and the Medicare. This is the money that goes in for the Social Security, the 15.2%.
Can't they nick you on your tax form?
No, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the money that you put aside for Social Security. Oh. And for Medicare. That's what they call the payroll tax.
So they're stealing our money.
Correct. They want to take the money. It makes some sense. If, in fact, they cut the payroll tax and they have a payroll tax holiday, myself as an employer, check this out. Let's say you have employees. And let's say your employees make $100,000 a year. Well, the employee is paying about these are round numbers, $7,500 per year in payroll taxes between the Medicare requirement and the FICA or the Social Security. So the employer also pays that as well. So that's 15 grand you just freed up. Okay?
Yeah. So
me as an employee.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And me as an employee, I just get $7,500 in my pocket or I didn't have to pay it. Employer gets $7,500. Now, on my circumstance, because if I'm making $100,000, if I am paying my own payroll taxes because I have to pay myself as the employee and I have to pay as the employer, if you will, I just got 15 grand in my pocket. Not bad, right?
No, then you're going to spend it.
Yeah, in theory. The problem is...
Theory.
Yeah, in theory. Well, so here's who it helps.
Which is the problem, by the way.
Here's who it helps. It helps the people that are on salary. It helps the companies. I mean, essentially, the companies on 7%, I'm doing an approximation, get to pay their employees a free month with the savings that they have. A free month.
Yeah.
Now, this is only going to be, what are we talking about? So where are we now? We're in March. April, May, June, July, August, September, October. So 8 months worth, which is about 3/4 of a year. That's a lot of time. And by the way, it's really interesting how it lines right up to the election, just as a point of reference. Nothing political with this, right?
No, nothing.
Nothing. So we're going to suspend the payroll taxes. And the cost of this is somewhere about 1.7, about 1 point. Let's just round it up. $1.2 trillion that won't be taken into the tax coffers. So the question is, as you asked, you know, isn't this to, no, who? That's a problem. Social Security's on the brink to begin with. Where are you going to get this money? So this helps the people that are working. Hourly people that maybe are furloughed or laid off, it doesn't help them a bit. You know why? If they don't get paid, they don't get the savings.
Right.
So now people that are also on maybe leave because they have the virus, which is the people you want to help in the towns and all that, maybe they're not getting paid. So the only thing that helps them is possibly a federal sick pay, you know, a federal a sick leave pay. Now, I don't know about you, but is it possible? Just help me out on this. Is it possible that I walk into the office one day and I'm like, you know, not feeling so good. All right, quarantine yourself for 14 days. The government's going to pay you. A few people will take that deal, won't they?
Well, how is that really that much different than what happened during the first couple of years of Obama, when they had this unemployment insurance and it should run out at some point? I think it's like 6 to 9 months, and they extended it for another year.
Right, it's 26 weeks.
Extended. Yeah, they 26 weeks, and they extended it for a whole year.
Right.
And then they extended it again. And there were people that were unemployment insurance for like 2 years. In fact, I think it hurt them because they could never get a job after that, because, you know, you can't be unemployed that long and expect people to want you to work for them.
Plus, there was a lot of what they called malingerers on the system.
Yes, that's what you always end up with.
So now, I think that there's somewhere in between this, because – the payroll deal, the payroll tax holiday, only helps a certain grouping and companies. So that fits a little bit of a mold. But again, you have to pay for it. How do you pay for it? Well, maybe they'll issue more bonds, and they could do so at lower rates now, so that's good. Drive the deficit, the debt up, which we've done already. That's why our debt clock is, if you have a look at that debt clock, they're going to have to put another either do a divisor on it or something.
Have to do a daylight savings time with it.
But what really, I don't know which one's better. Do you have any ideas which one, a payroll tax cut or a sick leave pay, which would work better in this circumstance?
I think the payroll tax cut would work better.
I think it would revive or help the economy. However, well, let me just back up. It may not exactly help the economy, because if I save all this money, I may not still want to go to the movie theater. I may still not want to go on a plane. I may still not want to go on a cruise. I don't care how much money I have in my pocket. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, if the whole country is shut down, can't go to a basketball game, you can't go on a cruise. I mean, you might as well not do any of these tax cuts, because people are going to be accumulating money anyway. Because they won't be able to spend it on anything.
And then hopefully when this deal is all done and this panic period, you know, is over.
Ends, which is predicted on the No Agenda show by Adam as April 1st.
I would agree it's going to end on April 1st.
Well, yeah, he's got yes, because the idea, and other people have seen this too. I'm not arguing against this. Is that once the $8.3 billion or whatever that ridiculous amount of money doled out, and here it is, then the clock, now we can change the timeline.
Hmm. Well, one of the things that really miffed me today was, let me also set this up, which really kind of aggravated me and why I have a problem with this whole payroll tax cut, the way it's going through and all that. First of all, do we really need it through November? It's clearly a signal that this is a political move. Yes, it may be something that's wise to do, but let's be honest. This is just a way to buy voters.
Yes, I agree.
Let's just get that straight. Now, whether or not it's a good thing to do and necessary is a different story. I mean, that may be also the case. Okay. However, the way this is being done, this is why you have, this reminds me of back in 2008. I remember this very distinctly. Everything was going to shit. I mean, things were flying all over the place. And this congressman comes on like CNBC or Bloomberg, whatever it was, and says, "Don't worry, here comes the cavalry." And I'm like, "Oh God, not that, not the Congress. Oh, not that." Because these guys can't, you know, they say all these things and they make all these promises. We're going to fix this thing. They didn't fix anything. Trump comes out and says, "Hey, you know what? We want to do a full payroll holiday." The Republicans are like, "What?" Mitch McConnell's like, I don't know about that. The Democrats are like, no. We want sick pay. We want to, you know, for the people that are affected with this, that's what we want it to happen, right to them. We don't need to really benefit the companies and the corporations and all that. They float this idea last night. Futures are up like 900 points overnight because everybody's like all giddy about it. We actually go down into the red today, and then they revive this discussion after lunch, and markets just go flying higher. After the close, they have a conference with the coronavirus team led by Pence. Okay. A bunch of just ridiculous conversation but One of the things that really pissed me off was that they have no unified plan. They have no facts that are supporting any of their assertions. They're just throwing this stuff out as if everybody should believe what it is and hopefully it's going to fix it before they actually have to implement anything. Hey, my cough feels a lot better as I'm pissed off. I got to stay angry.
You're all worked up.
I got to stay angry. If I go home tonight, honey, what are you yelling me for? Because it makes me feel better. My cough is gone. So I want you to listen to something, okay?
Sure.
Just check this out. I cut this recording from tonight. Let me make sure I can get this to the right spot. Here we go.
On something that Larry just said, though, because in 2018, according to the Center for Budget.
Let me just say something. This is a reporter asking Larry Kudlow about the payroll tax cut. Okay, about the payroll tax holiday. You know, he goes into asking, okay, what are we doing here?
On something that Larry just said, though, because in 2018, according to the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities, federal payroll taxes generated $1.17 trillion, which is an enormous figure. Larry, you're suggesting that you can make that up from general revenue. Where are you going to get $1 trillion from?
You know, let us put the proposal out in concrete details and flesh that out, and we'll have much better answers. Right now, I want to stay in my lane, and I think the health story, the coronavirus story, is very, very important here. We will do the best we can, Eamon, to give you specific plans and details once we flesh them out.
So they float this idea. Payroll tax cut. You know, this is going to be, but then they ask questions about it. I was like, let's not worry about the details right now, how this is going to work. I mean, how is this guy still employed?
He's right in there with the rest of them. I mean, don't you remember the time that when, both sides, both parties do this. Nancy Pelosi passed was one of the medical Obamacare bills and said, we got to pass it so we can read it and see what's in it.
Oh, I remember that. That was awful. Oh,
this is kind of the same thing.
So let's just do it. Then we'll figure out what the details will be. We'll write it afterwards.
This is like, you know, the idiots who sign contracts and say, well, don't worry about it. I got to show it to my lawyer. No. Don't worry about it. Just sign it. We'll work out the details after you sign it.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is the dumbest thing in the world. And people just keep falling for it. And I don't know. It's a sleazy trick. I think Kudlow's just pulling a fast one.
Yeah. I mean, I had him. I think I've told this before. I've had him on my podcast back in, I don't remember, 2008, 2009 on the Disciplined Investor, right? And I said to him, Larry, what do you think? Are we going into a recession? No, the economy's fine. We're at a little bit of a speed bump here. Everything is solid. Employment's going to hold up. Don't worry about that. We're not going into recession. There's nothing like that. He's doing the same thing today. He is not a cheerleader. He's an absolute economic liar.
Yeah.
And it really harmful to investors.
Yeah, I agree with that. It is. It has to be.
Yeah.
It's too misleading.
Right. So now the new discussion points are whether or not we're going to have a V or a U-shaped recovery. This is the big discussion.
Everyone's talking about it.
V or U-shape?
Yeah.
So a V would be, we get to April 1st, according to your date. Everything kind of lays down, and then all of a sudden we're back off to the races. Everything is just fine. We go back onto a 2% GDP. Maybe one quarter of a lag. And then it's right back to where we were. Everything just goes back to normal. The other one is a U. So a U is a V, but with a lot longer timeline until we get that slope higher.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about the L.
Well, no one wants to talk about the L. There's also a W.
Yeah, W is not fun.
Well, W is like a bear trap, bull trap combined. It's like you're screwed, whatever you do.
Yep. So what do you think? Which one?
The L? I'm of the opinion that nobody knows. This is the joke of it. It's just the market does what it's going to do, whether you think it's going to do this or you think it's going to do that, or I think it doesn't matter. It could be an L. That would not be, it could be an L. Just stays down right about here, bounces around. We've seen this before. Could go a year or two, just bouncing around for a year. That's a possibility. It wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, the problem is,
what we got to witness is that the system doesn't work under the circumstances we're now put into.
Explain that.
It's almost as though this is like a giant test. What would the market react if we had all these situations that really required a lot of quarantining and we had a real problem? We've never really had one in this country. Maybe in 1918 we did. But how's the systems work? How does it work if this happens? So let's set this scenario up and watch what happens. And it looks like nothing works. It's like, wow, we don't have enough hospital beds. They can't get tests for enough people. They can't work up, you know, it's like a mess. And people are fearful and they're running around with their heads cut off and they're canceling the NCAA tournament and they're canceling every rock concert in the world. If you ever wanted to know what's the worst case scenario for all these businesses, like airlines are screwed, B&B is screwed, concert companies are screwed, entertainment is, you know, if it's anything that where you have to go and be with other people, it's screwed. One thing after another, there's a bunch of them. AMC, there's a good, nice short, the movie chain. I mean, who's going to go to the movies? This is like it's, and who really would have predicted all this? Nobody.
Yeah,
and impossible. So it's like a test.
So it's a real life stress test,
It's a live stress test.
Send a million gigawatts through the system, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, well, we're seeing what happens, and now we're getting a clue. And then who knew about the toilet paper?
What's with the toilet paper?
No, people. Toilet paper, and the other one is water. Hey, you know, the municipal utility systems, they tend to have water flowing in these pipes just because coronavirus doesn't stop the water.
No, but now that we have to wash our hands and sing happy birthday twice until we finish, could tax the water system.
Oh, well, if you have to wash your hands. Well, a lot of people are skipping that, and they got these sprays, these little sanitation sprays.
Oh, I got to do that.
You don't need to really use as much water with those. Now, I came up with a good joke if anybody wants to play this. So you get a bottle of hand sanitizer and put it somewhere, dump it out and just wash it and wash it and wash it so it's clean. And then put some regular water in it. And then go to like a McDonald's where there's people around and then pull out your hand sanitizer and spray your hands and then spray the burger. Even take the bun off and spray the meat and then spray the insides with this what looks like hand sanitizer is just water. And then eat the burger. You will get everybody will be talking about it.
I like it. I'll tell you, instead of toilet, somebody in the chat room brought this up and I agree with this. Get bidets. You can get a Toto, T-O-T-O, washlet, which fits right on top of your toilet.
Yeah.
And you just have to change. You don't have to put a water line in because it hooks into the other water line. You need a plug. You need an electrical outlet somewhere in the vicinity.
It washes you.
Let me tell you. I'm going to tell you a secret. That's all we have in my house. It is.
Well, you have I know people that have had those. I had one. I never had one in our house, but I've been to hotel rooms that have them. They're pretty cool. They work.
Yeah, they're clean. It's not like the old fashioned. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Cleans it all over. Let me tell you, never felt so clean and ready to go. let's talk about this website. We've been talking about this. Is a link on the show notes. It's the Johns Hopkins website, tracking website for the coronavirus. Yeah. Starting to fill up pretty good. A lot of bubbles there. You see that? You have 118,000 now confirmed. Italy has 10,000. Iran has, China seems to have leveled off a little bit.
Yeah.
U.S. is 972. We're popping pretty good. We had like 12 last week. I don't know what, let's click the United States, tell me. Here, 28 deaths in the United States, 8 recovered in California. Deaths are focused in California, Washington, and Florida. And we got state of emergencies everywhere. Florida's under a state of emergency.
Oh, yeah, it's money. You'd call a state of emergency and you get some federal money.
Ah.
I mean, even Gavin Newsom went off and said, wow, if whatever we asked for from the feds, they gave it to us. And he didn't even bother to slam Trump. So you had no cases in San Francisco, yet the mayor declared a state of emergency for the money. It's just a money scam.
What's the story with New Rochelle, New York?
I have no idea.
The National Guard is being called out.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
Yep. 30 people that went to a bar mitzvah are all now under quarantine. It seems something's going on. What they have, I don't know what they think people are going to do. They're going to run off or something. But they
have no idea.
Bringing the National Guard up there.
Well, you got to make the Jewish population there to feel real comfortable.
Ah, I got it.
A bunch of guns pointed at them.
But the entire county, country of Italy is on lockdown now.
Yeah, Italy is it has to be the place that has to be studied the most, because how did it get so out of control there?
In Italy, it's amazing, right? It must be in the pasta or something.
I don't know. It's not. No one's come up with a good explanation for my taste to explain why Italy has so out of control. Do have a lot of immigrants. Maybe it has something to do with it. I have no idea.
A lot of cruise ships go to Italy.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably
maybe. I mean, all those Mediterranean cruises go through that. Well, not all of the area of Italy, though. They do Greece, too. A lot of Greece. So I'm not sure what that's about. You back?
I don't know.
You left me.
I'm back. Sorry. I don't know what happened.
All right. Stock trading application Robinhood had another outage on Monday, which kept clients on the sidelines not being able to trade. I don't understand why anybody is still using this free app if, in fact, you can get free trades at, I said this last week, but you get free trades at Schwab, TD Ameritrade. I mean, the list goes on and on. Fidelity. Yeah. Why wouldn't you use one of these major? I had no problems. Monday was fine. We're trading. We're doing.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah.
I would never use something like that in a million years. It just seems flaky.
You know what it is? It's this whole craze that it's an app.
Yeah, I think that's all it is.
It's an app.
Oh, it's an app. It goes on your phone. It's an app. Oh, yeah. It's an app. Oh,
all these other things have apps too.
Must be better because it's an app.
Yeah, it's got nice big print and it's got things you can move on
the screen. I don't really even want to be trading on my phone.
I mean, I'll sometimes do that under certain circumstances. I was out of the office on one day and I was kind of doing a couple things. But other than that, you know, but again, chat room, it's free stocks. I mean, I know you get a couple of free stocks, but all right. But if you're down and you lose $500 on a trade because you can't get in, that's all blown up in your face. So who cares? Crazy. Hedge fund giant David Tepper says he's not surprised that the bid-ask spreads are widening given the volatility that we're seeing. But he said that this is a risk management problem overall, not a liquidity problem. And he's talking about the bond market in particular, and he's talking about some stock areas, but saying that people had too much risk outstanding and trying to get out of trades now is a problem. And it's not a liquidity problem where there's just not enough. I don't know what the difference is. I don't know. So, I don't know. Amazon, a U.S. judge says Amazon is likely to succeed on a key argument of its challenge to the U.S. Department of Defense's decision to award the cloud computing deal. That's worth up to, $10 billion to Microsoft.
I wonder what the argument, what is the key argument? Do we know what it is?
The key argument
Trump
is.
Trump doesn't like Amazon or.
Right. No, he doesn't like Bezos.
That can't be the key argument. It's not a legal argument. It's just some supposition.
That's the supposition. That's why they went after it. But supposedly there was some, I was reading a bunch about this. There was something about that that when you look at the deal and put them side by side, they were not equal.
It could be. Microsoft has to fight this.
Yeah, they will. We have some new people at the White House. President Trump said on Friday that Republican U.S. Representative Mark Meadows will become the new White House chief of staff.
Right. It was only temporary for him.
Yeah. Right after the appointment, Meadows went on voluntary quarantine. As he came in contact with someone who tested positive.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these guys did because they went to the CPAC meeting, you know, to blow smoke, conservative public, you know, whatever it is, PAC. That's in Washington. It's a big meeting of all the hot conservatives. And they all go there to blow smoke. And I guess there's one guy there. In fact, Mulaney had a there's a funny little gif floating around where Mulaney is coughing into his right hand. Then he puts his hand out to shake hands with somebody.
Ugh.
And it's like, it's very funny to watch it, but it's like, eesh.
You got to wonder if it does make its way around Congress, if we will see more of a panic. And that will move them into action on some of this
stuff.
Well,
they did definitely jump into the quarantine bin as fast as they could, which gets them off of a lot of hooks and probably can vote or something remotely, which would be nice. But it's all the Republicans. There's not one Democrat who is quarantined himself that I know of. It's all these Republicans, and many of them conservatives, and many of them had some relationship to the CPAC meeting.
Right. Well, that's supposedly where it came from. You're not suggesting there's some kind of conspiracy going on.
One guy, I mean, my daughter ran into somebody who had coronavirus, she says, he said, and it's like, you can't even believe any of this.
I was driving down the road this afternoon. I saw a bus driver do like a sneezing fit, but he did one of those sneezing into his shirts. You know what I'm talking about? He's wearing like a college, a polo shirt, and he pulls his whole face underneath, and he just starts, you know, sneezing into his shirt, which is quite disgusting.
Well, the coronavirus and the seasonal flu is not really marked by much sneezing. That's the common cold. So it's coughing. The main things that are specific to corona is a lot of coughing, like you have, and shortness of breath and fatigue.
I'm going. I'm down. Going down. But you need a fever too.
Oh yeah, and fever. Sorry, you're right.
That's the fever. That's the one thing I don't have. And I don't have. I can hold my breath for 10 seconds.
Fever. I didn't know. Is that the trick?
Supposedly take a deep breath and hold it for 10 seconds. If you don't have any pain or something else.
Well, if you have bronchitis, you're going to have trouble doing that too.
Right. Which is what this is. It gets into your lungs.
Yeah, well, they think it's more like pneumonia.
Right. It just clogs you up. You can't breathe.
Yeah.
Russian. Little story from Russia real quick. New constitutional change on the table. Seems that President Vladimir Putin, he opened the door for constitutional change that would allow him to remain in power until 2036.
Yeah.
But
he's going to live that long? How old is this guy? He's in the 70s.
70s, so that would be, what, another 16 years? 86, that'd be done. He says, you know what? But I favor term limits once the country has become politically mature.
Yeah, in other words, once he's out.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to help with the Andrew coronavirus COVID-19 Get Well Fund, you could do so by going over to DH Unplugged and clicking on the little yellow button, which is the the official donation button for DH Unplugged. And let me look. Well, it's in the box. See, I'm looking right outside the door. The trophy for the winner, we don't even ask why it took so long, but the trophy for the winner for the 2019 Close to the Pin Cup is on its way out the door. We sent winner from this week, which we're going to get to in a moment, his shirt and certificate. And all of your helpful donations do help. Now, instead of putting your money and losing it on Robinhood trades, and why not really do something good for the world? And I think the DH Unplugged show is good for the world. Don't you think so?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So please, seriously, we need your donations. It would be very helpful. Don't make me go on any longer about it, because I only have a certain amount of breath, it seems, to go. Uh-oh. See, I'm spreading this.
Over the wire.
I'll mention that Adam Curry from the No Agenda show, which you can listen to every week on Thursdays and Sundays with John T. Dvorak and Adam Curry. Adam Curry did a 3-hour bit with Joe Rogan this week. How do you like that?
Yeah, it was a lot of work. A
lot of work. He was good.
And he had to fly to L.A. to do it.
I think he was good, though. He looked pretty good.
Yeah, he did. He looked great.
And you know when things are getting out of hand? Let me tell you when things are getting out of hand. I've seen this before. When I am asked to be a guest on a video podcast on the Foodable Network, when they talk to me and want to know my opinion, the Foodable.tv. I was on the Barron Report this week, live from the studio. You can find it on YouTube. when I'm asked to be the guest on a food-related or generally food-related network that wants to talk to me about the impact of coronavirus on the hospitality industry, you know they're starting to get a little worried.
I would be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you probably see recipes, food, restaurants, Horowitz. Like, well, how did that fit? This reminds me of back in the day when there was a tech-only show that would have me on to talk about the markets and all that. Do you remember?
You remember? No.
Yes, you do. That's how we met.
Silicon Spin?
No. On Twit.
Microsoft TV?
This Week in Tech.
Oh, This Week in Tech. Yeah, you were on every so often. In fact, you were giving Leo advice for a while, and it was paying off for him, and then he told you to
pound salt. Yeah, my listeners don't want to talk about business.
Throwing his money away.
My listeners don't want to talk about that. Anyway, we do have a winner of the Close to the Pin for Virgin Galactic, which was a wild one. The average price of the entry was 20.
I was the winner last show, and now all of a sudden I'm off 13%?
Yeah, and I'm off 30. There you go. That's what happens when you have a week like last. You know, with all the action last week, by the way, markets finished up ever so slightly. Markets were in the green by the end of the week, and it happened in the last 30 minutes of trading.
That's your L recovery.
Yeah. Yep. The final stock price was $21.67. Average guess was 28. I was 30% away. You were 13% away. Mark K came in as the winner, 12 cents away at 0.55% off. Pretty good. Pretty impressive. So we're going to send him out that t-shirt. Let's see here.
RVS was the runner-up.
Yep. All right, a couple other things here. Thomas Pettify. Every time I hear that, it sounds like pedophile to me. But anyway, Thomas Pettify, who is the founder of Interactive Brokers. We use the product. Fabulous. Fabulous product for managing clients' money. And he's very advanced. The technology is probably better than any other platform that we use for clients. But he told CNBC last week that stock trading on his platform has soared since the coronavirus concern drove these market swings, which you could expect that. They've been doing an average of 1.2 million trades a day for our customers, which was about 50% higher than we used to do last year. But what I found really amazing was that account openings have doubled over the past 2 months.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Why?
I don't know.
Jumping in because to get in low and we're just short? I mean, why is so many new accounts?
I don't know. It's pretty interesting. I mean, I know that there's a lot of interest here. I'm getting a lot of new people come through the doors.
Why?
Because, well, one of the reasons is this. I've always said this. When markets are just kind of cruising along, they're doing pretty well. People are like, just leave it alone. I could do it myself. When you get this kind of volatility, like, holy crap, I need help.
Okay.
So
That makes sense.
Every time we see market volatility, brand new clients come in every single time. What should happen is that clients should be thinking about this well before so they don't get their asses kicked when markets are doing what they're doing. When you have a personal advisor working with you the whole time, but they wait. Last thing I'll mention here is that Occidental Petroleum slashes their dividend the first time in 30 years. You just see the chart on that. OXY. Ugh. Terrible. Oil companies are going to continue to have problems with crude sub 40. And like I said, plan is floating for federal loans to the energy sector. Yep. All right. Quickly, we got a couple of limericks in from the same person. You can send your limericks into dhemail@dhunplugged.com. So if you want to send it in, we'll put it up. We'll do our thing.
All right.
Here we go.
Clear your throat and here we go.
Yeah, I'm going to take a sip of the old tea here. Ah, delicious. All right. From Dylan Lawrence. First one. Trump has advice for Chair Powell. Lower rates is his constant howl. So like a good porter, Jay lowered to quarter. Stocks fell, upsetting Trump's bowel.
Well, I think this is a good limerick. It has some, you know, there's a it's got some missing pieces. It's but I'm gonna give it a minus.
Oh, Dylan, A minus. And you know that JCD is tough with these. We got to hear from the chat room also, and you guys are kind of they're so immersed in this whole coronavirus thing and the Robin Hood.
Yeah, they're worried sick. They're fretting like old women.
Ginger, garlic takes vitamin C. Lock of answer. Somebody wants me to do free diving exercises to expand my lung capacity.
Brother.
So
Limerick number two.
Yeah, and everybody can vote on this too, okay? Limerick number two again from Dylan Lawrence. I'm obsessed with COVID-19. Lower rates I have never seen. So I joined the Bears and sold all my shares in an effort to wipe my slate clean.
Wow.
That one's pretty that's a good cadence. Good. Yeah.
I'm giving him an A.
Wow. An A minus. I gotta write this down. I'm A minus and an A. Okay.
That's one of the few A's I've ever given.
Yeah, you're definitely cheap on the A's. There's no question about that. No question about that.
Hello.
No, that's not the right one. I got to push the other button. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
Let's just say that this volatility has not done us well.
No, not only that, but your Williams-Sonoma short, which closed up 22%, still got kicked off.
Yeah, that's what
you can't. You can't play this game under these circumstances.
Which is why you'll notice, what are my picks for the week?
None.
Yeah. I mean, the Uvixie trade, it came in really nicely. I had a 5% gain on it and then just got obliterated when it was down. Now the stock was, markets were down Monday, 22%. This thing went up like 40%. Got killed on that.
It's no good. Well, I got to have to take a pass too, because until the market stops going up 1,000, down 2,000,
yeah,
up 500, down 1,000, up 1,000. I mean, it's unbelievable. There's, unless we pick something and don't have a stop, which kind of is not the game. The game we're playing has built-in stops.
Right.
So.
So I don't know. Let me tell you where we are right
pass,
now.
We can pass around. I believe we'll probably have to pass for the next couple of weeks before we get the game back on track.
Well, we may, but I may have something. So don't give up on me yet.
Well, I'm going to jump back into ET. You can count on that.
Yeah, that was up 3.6. Look at GoPro up 9% today. I mean, that was just a flip flop.
Yeah.
And the Uvixie was down 12% today. Right now, the pre-market futures, the Dow futures down 520 points, but. Because of the wonkiness of how this works with after hours, and you have a 15-minute number, there's something called a fair value, a 15-minute break between 4 and 4:15 when the futures close. Markets, the cash markets close at 4, futures market close at 4:15. Don't ask me why, but it is, okay? God forbid they line this shit up, right?
Yeah.
But no. So you have this 15 minutes and kind of that and a few other things go into this calculation of the fair value. So right now, before, if futures were zero right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average would be calling for an open of down 142 points. But the Dow Jones futures are down 505 points, giving us a 647-point loss on the open so far, 2.59%. 2.78 on the S&P futures. Same thing on Russell.
It's not playable.
Nope. And this is what happens when you get the cavalry in. You get this boom, well,
that
bam.
That makes it worse.
They're the worst. You get the heavy hand of the government in here, it's a disaster. Once they finally get it done and get out of it, it's like, okay, you know, it's kind of like, you know.
Then you can assess the damage.
Right. It's kind of like, you know, pre, during, and post the colonoscopy. Right now we are full bore in the colonoscopy. It's painful. It's ugly. And it stinks. You know what I'm saying?
God. Yeah.
You'll remember that. You'll remember that. That'll be something. Anyway, I will, assuming that I'm still in good shape and I can breathe, I will, I'll talk to you next week.
All right. I'll talk to you on Tuesday.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.